Log Talk Radio.
It's not the same without the record scratch. The
I know, it's but it was so loud.
One minute it's there and then it's gone.
Good Lord, it doesn't want to play right. It comes and it goes. Let's see if I can get this one right. Come on, play, damn it. Doesn't want to play. Come on. Just plays to the end. It pays 10 seconds and it goes away. All right, let's try this one.
There goes my only possession. Oh, there goes my everything. I hear footsteps.
Okay, well, that's some lovely, lovely Elvis Presley we have there. Elvis Presley, born on January 8th, which is not my birthday. And my mother was very disappointed. But welcome to Sweet Pea and Pretty Bird's Birthday Bash. I'm so excited. Yay! Pretty Bird's here, too. Say hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
Yes.
First
off, let's say hello to everyone out there. This is Sweet Discussions tonight on Blog Talk Radio and sponsored by AP's Poetry Foundation. So thank you, AP. We really appreciate it. We are part of All Poetry, and inside that is Team of Voices, which is a wonderful poetry group that we love to chit-chat about poetry, write about poetry, sleep about poetry, drink about poetry, and all these fabulous other things. We have an incredible sponsor, like I said, AP at the AP Poetry Foundation. So come on in, check us out. But tonight it's all about birthdays and poetry and fun and many other things. So, my God, I am stuck between Elvis and Richard Nixon, and if that doesn't give you a headache, nothing does. One's a crook, one's a creative. Actually, they're both pretty creative. And, Pretty Bird, who are you stuck between?
Oh, my God, from birthdays, so I don't know. I didn't do as much research as you, sweet.
Oh, I've had this all my life, my father and my mother. Nixon's great. No, Elvis is great. So it's always been, how about me? How about me? But that's okay. This is all me. So in the studio right now, we have Rack and Tor. Say hello, Rack.
Hello, Rack.
And then we have the fabulous AP. Say hello, AP.
Hello. How are you?
And then we have the amazing Stephen from my hometown. You know, Ohio. Well, that's not my hometown. That's my home state.
Hello.
I thought he was from the state of
Kentucky. Yes, well. And then we have Pretty Bird, Pretty Bird, who, of course, is my partner in crime.
Oh,
and
I got it. I'm between Mel Gibson and Bradley Cooper, so I'm good.
Oh, wow. Hi, hi, hi. And then we have the Hatter, Hatter, Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Hey, hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I'm so excited. Yes, yes, I am. So, Stephen, I know you have to read and run.
Yes,
I'm very excited about that. Okay, so I'm going to let you read and run. So we're going to throw you first on the board, like splat. We're going to do all that.
Splat.
I hate when the studio does that. I don't know why it does that, but it does. But, oh, Sinister, I don't know why you got in and then you got out. Because you were there and then you were gone. So call back in. I don't know what happened. Come back in. Come back into the fold.
Out and in and out.
But it says caller dropped.
Yeah, but then he's...
Oh, there he is again. Now he's back in. Sin's here! Yay! Did you get in? Dig in? Where's he at? My studio's all, like, funky weird.
Mine too.
Huh?
Yeah, it's not letting me click on
like,
many things.
Yeah, it's like weird, like Goliath Giant weird. And I'm like, what is that all about?
Hatter, fix the studio.
Hatter, fix the studio. I'm not liking it at all. Sin dropped. Sin, come back
what?
In. This is not going to make me happy. Oh, oh, no. Don't do this to me. Studio. All right, let's try this again.
Studio
54. Studio 54, a fabulous place to dance, better to do drugs. But, okay, let's try this again. I've kind of got the studio looking cool. But in the meantime, Stephen, let's get you on the board.
Stephen 76.
Even 76. Let's see if I can do this. And I'm so excited about what you're going to read. He is on the board. Go. You're ready, sir.
All right. I know that both of you are fairly fond of the darker poems, so I figured I'd bring you some true crime darkness from the mortuary vaults, one that we did. And this is called Ashes to Ashes, Trust to Dust. Of dowagers diving deep into dark dirt, doctor takes oath as to never cause hurt, but tottering brain twists in the skull, intravenous toxin to scalpel that's dull. Hundreds cremated and turned into ash, silence the killer who tickles a forced smash. The smoking gun barrel was too hot to touch, rookie gray matter just doesn't find much. When dotage was inked into moribund writ, cadaver exhumed from its cavernous pit, where marrow did tell of its hair-raising tale, so jury box voice guilty screams, shouts, and wails. Now waterfowl call is alone in his cell, with vacant eyes ogling life's sentence shell, linens tied tightly around medic throat, swinging so softly to ruin's plaint notes. End poem.
Oh, how lovely, how lovely, how lovely. So this guy preyed on the elderly, and then he ended up killing himself before he could just rot away in jail?
Yep.
Don't you just love those true crime stories? That is awesome. Yes, a big fan of Dark Rites. A big fan. Hundreds cremated and turned into ash. Silence the killer who tickles for smash. The smoking gun barrel was hot to touch. Rookie gray matter just doesn't find. I absolutely do. You and your storytelling, and it flows so wonderfully. And, you know, I feel bad for the old people. You know, you trust to dust. I don't. Tell me the story, Stephen. Tell me the story.
So he ended up, they said that he killed like over like hundreds of people. He was an English doctor. Said more than 200 people, of them, 80% of them being elderly women. And they would just die suddenly, and their families would wonder why. And he would come up with these poor excuses, but for some reason they would buy it. And then the one time he decided to get a little greedy, and he actually rewrote the woman's will, and they figured it out, and that's what got him busted, because she was leaving him everything.
Methinks not. And
gives a new definition to the words, is that a wrinkle?
A little bit. How about a little Botox for you? We'll just fix that right up. Here's a shot. So, Sweet, what are your thoughts?
Well, I got to tell you, this is like uber good storytelling, and I am so glad you brought it, because it's just lines like cadaver exhumed from its cavernous pit where marrow could tell of its hair-raising tale. I love tell and tale, by the way. So jury box voice guilty screams, shouts, and wails, because it reminds me of that like Salem witch trial kind of thing, where they're all screaming, you know, hang her, hang her, hang her. Not that we have any kind of like trials like that, but I that's what I envision when you write like that. But 200 people, and that's all we know. I mean, God knows how many actually killed, but 80% elderly women. I mean, why? Why? You want to just like dive into that gray matter and find that little tiny part of evolution that went check, 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 you're insane. I want to know what thing is missing in that brain. I just think maybe that makes me just as sick as he is, because I just want to dissect every tiny little piece of that brain matter to find out what went wrong. But this is brilliant, because it just makes me go there. I love it. So, AP, your thoughts?
215 people, 170-odd women in that 215 people, and it was all diamorphine. And so it just goes to show, you know, you've just got to be really careful who you choose as a doctor, Sweet. And, you know, The whole poem is a very subtle sort of reminder that the stuff we deal with in medicine is not too far away from the stuff that can do very nasty things. And it's beautifully subtle, as was the work of the doctorship. Very well done.
Thanks, AP.
Absolutely. And Rakitori, your thoughts?
The thing I love about this is in the beginning, he points out the hypocrisy, the Hippocratic Oath, before all else, do no harm, or however it's worded, that resonates, that attitude is just like so embraceable, it's like that's how it should be. And then the guy turns around, and next thing you know, he's like, I guess he's justifying it to himself, saying he's putting them out of their misery or whatever the hell he thinks he's doing. But, and because he's got doctor after his name, nobody really questions, oh, yeah, this is why she died. It was a heart attack. She never had heart issues. Well, she had a heart attack. It's just one of those things. And you tell it in a story fashion, which is convenient for the situation, but it doesn't happen by itself. So that's where your talent comes in, I think. You're pointing out things and telling us a story at the same time for something that just it occurred, and it's real and it's interesting, and now it rhymes. Good job.
Thanks, Rick.
And pretty, oh no, not pretty bird, duh. Hatter, your thoughts?
Pretty
yeah,
Hatter.
Yeah, what snaps in a guy like that? What era was this in? Was 1800s or turn of the century?
Oh no, this was fairly recent.
Oh,
1970s.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's a lot later than I thought, because it's harder to get away with that kind of crap. Yeah, True Tale put the rhyme. Very, very well done, man.
Thanks, Hatter. Yeah, he would actually tell family members something like, well, I left the examining room to go get something. When I came back, she was dead. And they'd buy
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Right. Yeah. He did it with a straight face.
Wow.
You said that they use diamorphine. Correct me. Isn't that like heroin?
Isn't it what?
Isn't it like heroin? They don't, it's illegal.
Yeah. It's a form. It's a form of morphine. Yeah, it's all.
Well, morphine is, I think diamorphine is synthetic-ish, but I could have sworn that it was
correct.
Like, pretty disgusting close to heroin. I mean, that's some way to die.
It makes you itch.
Be dilaudid. Dilaudid. Stronger than morphine, more dangerous than morphine. Drugstore Cowboy was written about it. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Happy birthday, ladies. And Stephen, I still remember when
you
first read that piece. I love that piece.
Thanks, Sid.
Awesome. Well, there's Sin's comment. That was fabulous. All right.
Well, I just want to.
What else is going on?
Happy birthday, and I gotta get.
Thanks,
well,
Sam.
Thank you
all
for
right.
your presence. I'm so glad you stopped by.
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Me too.
Hey, Steven.
Thank you.
Hey, Steven.
Go on, me.
What's up, Sid?
And before you and Kate tuck in, man, read my latest post, what I wanted to share with you earlier, right? I'm going to share
all
it
with
right, you
later. Will do. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice to you. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay. Kay! Where'd Kay go? I didn't see Kay.
mm-hmm.
Kay was not there. Oh, no. I miss Kay. I love the picture Kay sent us, though. That was awesome.
Oh, I know. She's fabulous. Thank you, Kay.
Yes, thank you, Kay. That was awesome. So, okay, Pretty Bird. Favorite birthday ever?
I have a history of really past birthdays, so I don't know that I have a favorite.
I have yet to have one.
You said you have yet to have a favorite birthday?
I have yet to have one. Okay, so this is how my birthdays usually go. So I said to my brothers, so my family goes on vacation. We go to a vacation every couple of years. And I said to my brothers, I said, on my 60th birthday, I want to go and celebrate my birthday on my 60th birthday. I want to go, let's go on a cruise, let's go somewhere, let's go and have a really great time on my birthday. Because we never do anything on my birthday because it's so close to Christmas or New Year's or it's in the dead of winter. And I'm like, well, we can travel somewhere. We'll go somewhere nice. And my oldest brother says to me, well, we can do that. How about we do it in July?
Because that's the same.
Yeah, because that's the same. I was like, that's not at all what I was thinking. I wanted to do it on my birthday. And he just did not get it. I'm like, that doesn't work for me, Jack. Yeah. So I know you have the same problem.
I do. Well, for I don't know, almost 20 years, you know, my husband was shooting fireworks, and, you know, New Year's fireworks don't happen at the house. So he was for the week before, like the day after Christmas to like 3 days after my birthday. So my birthday didn't exist. Fun.
That's
you know, you should get a cake. The kids are all like, you need to get a cake for your birthday. Like, I am not buying or baking myself a birthday cake. That ain't happening.
Yeah, no. No, no. My mom was a cake decorator for Wilton Cake Decoration. Ooh, so nice. I always had like a Barbie cake or something. My mom, I really did always have the bomb of a cake. So that was always nice. But AP has a poem on the board.
Oh, yay.
AP.
Yes.
Let us read.
Yes. Yes. So let me read the author's notes first, because they're important. Stanza one.
Okay.
Reference to stanza one of Pretty Bird, deforested hardwood leaves me stumped. Stanza two. Reference stanza one, Sweet Pea, County Store. Bonnie, Illinois, population 370, is halfway between Colorado and Florida. Okay, you ready? This is Bonnie, Illinois. Severely busted, grieving near a fire, taint sweat dreams, those sunny tossed garbles, hot-throated wines trained by your welcome face, stirring tranches, winter and a shrike, through my winking mood, raring yet witless, ever dogged by old fields bells. In Bonnie heard the crank of a shrike, proudest of the steps, of weak lattes and sundry paws, a bowl for Australian shepherds, for poets, as the morn welcomes their soliloquies, a space that ain't pretty, but still sweet. And that meeting of the minds was the synergy of fine thought, and their virtual connection reminds the heart of a poet is not taught. End peace.
Aww.
You, if I could, have go 100 arms to reach around the world, but that's you do a lot more research than I ever do because I'm like all off. But I love that you take the time because it means so much, and how lovely that last stanza, especially like it's so.
Uh-oh.
Pretty Bird, we lost
Pretty.
You.
We lost you.
Pretty. Oh, no, we lost her. But I'm going to agree with her that you doing the time or taking the time to do this is just, I mean, it's just amazing and heartfelt and so,
I mean, it means so much. I just, it's beautiful. I love, through my winking mood, I love that line too. But of course, I love all the lines picked for me. The Australian Shepherds, the space that ain't pretty but still sweet. And the last stanza is just beautiful, and it means so much. And the meeting of the minds, the fine thought, and the connection remains, and the heart of the poet is not taught. And you're going to make me cry, and you shouldn't do that. So stop it.
It's only brevity. I mean, I thought you shouldn't do that. It's only 106 words.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes 3 words can make somebody cry. So 106 can just, you know, make someone bawl. It's really sweet and really beautiful. Thank you, AP. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. And Pre-Bird better come back because I can't cry by myself. She's supposed to help me. Rackentor, your thoughts on this, please.
I really enjoy, you know, the things that AP puts into his poetry. And there's usually an Easter egg or two that, you know, you kind of gloss over at first, and then you find something out, and it leads you to realize what he's talking about. Did you mention Oldfield's Bells?
I actually did, yes. I did mention Oldfield's Bells. And there was a reason for that. Because in final line of her poem, she said, circles tagged in tubular cubes. And I thought, no, up tubular bells, but close enough.
which, if, for those that don't know, tubular bells is the Exorcist theme. I thought that was clever that you mentioned it without mentioning it. You know, I like things like
Thank you.
You know, it really works well. But and that last line was absolutely stunning. The heart of a poet is something that's not taught, and the two ladies are definitely heartfelt poets. So you brought that out as well. It's a beautiful tribute, AP.
Thank you, Rack.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well done. Throughout the whole, this is just, you can tell it was well thought out, well executed. It's a storyline. And I thought I was imagining the Oldfield. does he really mean that? Because, yeah, Brian Oldfield. Two blue bells. Nicely done.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Hedda.
And Sin, your thoughts?
It's Mike Oldfield.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Michael.
AP, man, this is excellent wordsmithing, but the fact that you not only do that with the depth you have, your personal touch, it just makes it stellar, man. Bravo. Beautiful, beautifully done, man.
Thanks. Thank you.
And Pretty Bird, you are back, so it's all yours.
I am. I don't even know when y'all was just talking, and Block Talk wasn't having it. It was not okay.
No.
And it wouldn't let me back in. But, this is, I don't know where you guys lost me, so I might be, you know, repeating things. But A, love the tubular bells, by the way. I did not even, I was like, once I got to the last stanza when you were reading, I was all, you know, heart melty and you know, I kind of left things back there at the beginning. But, I love how you kind of weave us and bits and pieces of us in into this beautiful, beautiful gift. And that last stanza especially just moved me in wonderful, wonderful ways. So I appreciate. I am just thrilled. So, yay, happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to you both.
Happy birthday
yes.
to us. Happy birthday to
yeah.
us. I love that. Happy birthday to us. I'm very excited today.
So what are you drinking? What are you drinking, ladies? I brought my drinks. I'll share. No,
all right.
So.
Then you want to go next?
I've got to disappear.
You've got
to
go.
I did want to say, though, I did love your line, a place that ain't dirty, but it ain't clean. And that was the line that got to, there was space that ain't purty, but it's still sweet. And that, you know, I liked that a lot, I have to say. That was really neat. Anyway, I am now departing stage left. So, bye, everybody. Have a great birthday show, pretty and sweet.
Thank you. Okay.
My
thank you, AP. I really appreciate it.
No problems at all. Have fun. See you soon.
Thank you. See you soon.
Hold on for 1 second. I'll be back in 1 second. My dog is sitting in the garbage. Hold on.
Okay.
Cool.
Dog in the trash. That's never good. Dog in the trash is never good.
He's
I always have
trash.
Dogs in trash, but... Dog.
That's a dog in the kennel.
Dog in the trash.
That's a dog.
My
in
dog's
the
not in the kennel yet.
And I have a bulldog. She
my dog's almost
no, I get the problem for behavior since it's that. My daughter's dog is she's only like a year and a half now, and she's full blood pit. She's really strong. She's really sweet and loving, but she's very smart. You know, not smart, but that puppy thing. I tell you what, when I brought the kennel back in the house, attitude changed 360 degrees. I've only had to put her in it twice. I brought her back in the house a month ago. She knows exactly what it's for. I sit there and talk to her about it. She said, like, I put her in it all the time. I'm like, you've been in that thing 4 times, and you know what its purpose is.
My dog loves his kennel. He goes in the kennel at night without me even telling him to. And it's like, okay, good night. Yeah.
You should say that's
he
home.
Loves it. Yeah, he loves it.
So, crazy. I was going to give you ladies the choice of what you wanted to hear, and this too. This is something we want to hear still, okay, but I'm bringing you a brand new piece. I hadn't put it on AP at all until just now. So we'll wait until Pittsburgh gets back. But I thought, that's not what I wanted to put on there. I thought, what better time to share it than you two lovely ladies' birthday party. Celebration, whatever.
Pretty sweet premiere.
Yay! It's a premiere. Pretty Bird left us again. There she is.
She
hold on. She's coming back. She ran away. Now she's back.
So on topic me, apparently.
Apparently. All right. Sin is going to put
my phone,
a premiere.
I am direct connecting.
All right.
Okay, Sinister
is putting one up. It's a premiere. It's first time ever.
Ooh, just remember, we're PG-13.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that's not going to work.
Wow.
It's on you, Sin.
He's on the board.
On you, Sin.
All right. Ready? Here we go. I'm talking the whole
ready.
Time. So, all right. It's called Luscious Breath. Luscious parodies, seductively swing tango vibrations and pink flamenco drag down weary canals. Mazes gap distance, eternal structure, channeling and caption of growing embers. Devour drunken convictions in dusk's late sultry, denied under the bruising burn of high noon hour sun. No illusion in their hands, but we can get lost again. The tingle ascends from pinky on the left to brain again. We conquer simulations into what I must conform. Softly now, without ridges, we see design form. Traipsing, invigorating vibrations, we current vast oceans might be downburst of grand ejaculations. Mesmerizing moments mirrored under galactic canopies. Advantageous not unto lost obscurities when we saw the fruitings of lust's true nature. blossoming, relentless, the plethora that seduces spring's breath. Deviant whirlwinds of scattered straw, cyclone, lighted ideals of scholar conceptions. Ones that birth reasons, resolve, and tenacities, perseverance, never to fail. Pull spunk by bristle raw under the splattered desert. Out entangled visceral mojo, our chromosomes merge, prolific inertia explosions of defined to ingest variables of you till the dawn's lingerie speckles the horizon. Alerting passionate hearts to depth, desire roots deep into ones without inhibitions. Lost high ladder demographics, matinee such grand persuasions. Pleasantly upon your cherry lips, smooth posh talk. Less pseudo grandstanding of whorish dialect to you, I swoon. Paramount now, the escalation of audio ecstasy from brazen guitars and flashy horns. Seductively, we are drunken embers of vivacious energies licking the teal of the air. Mockery breathing. And peace.
I want to ingest the variables of you until dawn's lingerie speckles the horizon. How freaking awesome is that? That is amazing. I mean, you just go all in and out and twist and turn. And, you know, I love the way you put words together because it can be abrupt, but not abrupt as in abrasive, abrupt as in punctuated. Stand up and take
concise,
sick, weary canals. I mean, that is a very strong start, and it takes you to a place, and it is awesome. Now, you can't just go full on all the time into any given situation that involves a little of this and a little of that, and this, you know, is the precipice of things to come or things that, well, have already went, and how the end is not the end, you know? It can just be the beginning because the cycle is there, and sometimes passion is not dissuaded by the termination of things.
I really hate your freaking phone tonight.
It's being unkind.
Can you not hear me?
I know. I'm hanging in every room.
You're cutting
out. I know, and your phone keeps cutting out.
It's the freaking Blog Talk, for Pete's sake. You know what? I might just have to try to call you on my phone. But I'm not ready for that yet because my service here sucks because I live.
Use the Google line.
I'm on my laptop. That's why it sounds so clear.
You keep cutting in and out, and we're like, huh? 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 it's like a wannabe orgasm.
Oh, wow. You know, that's like, not always a bad thing.
You're edging your comment.
Yes. So much fun at PG-13. But I'm telling you, we're hanging on every word, so. It's awesome. So, Sinister. Oh my gosh. I this is just gorgeous, and yeah. Although I cannot say it as eloquently as the Pretty Bird does. this is passion just pouring out. I will, unfortunately, I have to go outside of your gorgeousness and lustful, beautiful passion, because there's one line in here that just takes me back to my tiny bit of a childhood, and I just can't help but not mention it. As I tingle a sentence from the pinky on the left to the brain, all I can think is pinky in the brain, and it just threw me off.
Damn
for
right.
a moment, but I do...
And that's on purpose. That's totally on purpose.
Okay, thank you.
I was thinking about conquering. It's about conquering. You know what I mean? What better
okay.
deviation, conquering than Pinky and the Brain.
Stimulations and Pinky and the Brain, and I just went right there, and I went, okay. Good, I'm glad we're on the same page
there. That's the playful, you know, just like those denied under the bruising burn of high noon hour's sun. You know, that's how it's spelt. It's spelt like that on purpose.
Okay.
High noon is that. So yeah, there's a lot of little wordplay. But like when I first heard this in French, she's like, you said flamenco, not go, right? And, yeah, go. We're talking about, you know, southern, you know.
There's like a couple of things in here, and I went, this is so passionately and so, you know, so sexy and sultry. And I go to Pinky and the Brain, and I'm like, oh. Oh, yeah, because I'm just that way. I really do love this. It's really great. And I love the plethora that Seuss springs breath, deviant with whirlwinds of scattered straw cyclones, lightened ideals of scholared conceptions. You have so many great lines in here, and they just pull together, and they're just, you know, like a Harlequin romance on a hot summer afternoon. It was just beautiful. I applaud you. You have that skill to write so deeply and passionately and throw in Pinky in the Brain, so I'm all for it. Way to be.
Dragon
Tour, your thoughts.
The animal's whisker.
there's a lot of personal touches in this that I really appreciate. The Pinky and the Brain was one. When I hear Dawn's Lingerie, you know, I think, you know, that still must be next to Victoria's Secret, you know. But the whole thing is you know, clever use of the words and very heartfelt. And you know, obviously, you're not the only one, I think, that when you think of the two birthday girls that we're honoring tonight, that your mind goes in that direction. You almost can't help it. So, you know, it's one of those sad facts that, you know, sometimes, you know, women are like, I'm more than a sex symbol, but at the same time, you know, when you talk about their brains and everything else, they get upset. It's like, notice me as a woman. I'm a woman too, damn it. You know, and that's a tightrope you shouldn't have to walk, because they're not mutually exclusive. And you girls are a perfect example of that. And I think Sin brought that out in this piece.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're 100% right. Blog Talk's killing me. It's my birthday and they don't want to work. Bad blog talk. Header got dropped. Pretty Bird got dropped. I'm just losing people left and right. Oh, it's killing me.
Did you read the author notes in that?
No, I have not. Read them.
Yeah, read the author notes. Me read them?
Yeah, you read them.
Inspired from the line I took, Deviant Dawn, my love. Brought forth for two special women who are celebrating earthy brimmings, Sweets and Pretty Bird. I wasn't going to post it on APL. I wanted to share it earlier, but I'm not posting that shit. And I thought, oh, my God, it's the lady's birthday, and I have to post it. Because they will just absolutely, you know. And you know, give you a llama. Just talk, friend. You know, I talk to my friends like that. You know, hey, beautiful, love, you know. This is how I talk. And it sparked this thought. And the thought was, okay, go on, Dawn. And that actually spurred another poem, Muted Prophets, but like this was the passionate one. The other one's kind of like fuckery because it was started off of Luck Be a Lady, and I so I, you know, doing that. So this was the passion that I hold, and that ain't nobody getting without, you know, gold fucking tickets.
That's awesome. It was great. Thank you. I really liked it. Yeah, it'll go on my sin list. My list for you is called When
you
I
know,
Sin.
You know, I just noticed that the other day, and that's why when I saw that it was you guys' birthday, I'm like, I have to be there. Well, you know, and I've been saying this to everybody. It's like, you know I've been absent and whatnot, and some of it was on purpose because I was trying to save something that was not meant to be said. But part of it's just me being absent in general, and I'm not going to be absent anymore, so you see me a lot more often, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite titles, When I Sin. There it is. It's sinister. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, that was great. I like it. I'm still so upset I can't get Pretty Bird back. Come back to me. Oh, wow. So anyway, I was going to tell everyone, share with AP, I am going to be in a promotional magazine for my puppies. So I was very, very happy. Yes, it's called 40 Women Over 40. And I'm very excited about it. So, and I think it's in April. So, not that you care, Rat, because you can't see the picture, but I was photographed for it, and I'll be interviewed for it. So I'm very, very happy about it.
Excellent.
Very, very happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great picture. I'm happy.
Good. That's awesome. I am happy. You are happy. Me personally, I don't care for animals. I tolerate the three I have, but I've just put too much with animals for too goddamn long, and I won't do it anymore. But I like my lizards. My lizards are really cool. You know what are really cool animals? Rabbits.
Huh.
Like, if I didn't have cats and a dog, I would totally get another rabbit, because Peter was like my best friend. He taught me. He reminded me how to love and forgive again. That people don't give enough credit to rabbits. They're very intelligent and potty trained. I mean, they shit everywhere because they can't help that. But they don't pee unless they have a litter box. And you train them and they do it. And they'll wake your ass up if you don't feed them. Peter used to do laps around my ass when I didn't feed him. Pretty cool. And ate all my weed.
Well,
I couldn't leave weed anywhere, man. That cat, that rabbit ate all my shit if I left it out. He didn't enjoy the half.
Oh my God, I've never heard of a rabbit that would do that. That sucks. Was he hungry?
Okay, but you guys are close, and I love
wondering.
You. Back in my giving days, he did even worse than that. He ate about half a line, and I thought he was gonna fucking die. He was jumping like 8 feet in the air for like 2 hours. I thought his little heart was gonna explode. It's horrible.
Everybody say hi to Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Deb, you missed it. You suck. Oh no. Hi,
hello.
Deb. Are you feeling better? Are you feeling better?
Huh.
I'm drinking whiskey for you. I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, you drank a whiskey for me? No, it didn't help, but thanks for trying.
Thanks for trying.
I'm
going to
keep trying.
We lost Pretty Bird.
I paid $10 for this bottle of Crown, so.
We're still waiting on Pretty Bird to try to come back.
Block
I don't know if she's coming back.
Block talk.
Yeah,
she's going to change the life. She's coming back. She's not going to leave you. She will be back, sweet.
I hope so. I can't have a birthday party without my birthday partner. It hurts my heart.
So,
really
so okay. Illinois, that was, which one of you live in Illinois? Both of you or one of you?
No, neither one of us. I live in Colorado and she lives in Florida.
Oh.
Hello,
oh,
hello,
okay.
337.
No, he should have said, well,
it's me.
No, he used my location.
It's Pretty Bird!
You sound crystal clear now.
I was going to say, thank God. Okay, you're both in better places than fucking Illinois, so that's all right. Good, good. I'm misery, so.
That's the midway point. That's why he brought it up in his office notes. That's the midway point between the two places.
Ah, okay, now it makes more sense. Yeah, I got it. It says I've been drinking, so.
Yes. All right, do you want to finish your comments?
Pretty Bird has to give me all her love, all over again because we can hear her.
Yeah.
Okay, change devices at least.
No, it's still my computer. Before I had direct dialed through Blog Talk. This is Google Voice, but it was giving me a hard time because I forgot which account I used to get on Google Voice. So, my bad.
And you crystal clear now. So, that's
there
my thing. I started using my text now on my laptop, and you hear how clear I am. I love this headset.
I'm telling you, there is something wrong with Blog Talk's mode of communication. I mean, it's moody, but at least you can hear me, so yay. Let me know if I'm too loud, though, because I tend to be, and I can turn things down. So this poem, I don't know what you heard or what you didn't hear with my intermittent voice there, but I absolutely loved like there are certain lines that stop me, like the one that I had started to read. It was, I want to ingest variables of you until dawn's lingerie speckles the horizon. I mean, how stinking beautiful is that? You just kind of want to fall into there. And I had said that it is, I love the way you write because you have all these turns of phrases and, sometimes they're a little bit abrupt, but they're not abrupt as in abrasive. They're abrupt like their punctuation. So you have these little moments of mood that ebb and flow. And with the ins and outs of this poem, it's very much indicative to me, and I could be wrong because it's been known to happen, that passion does not necessarily have to stop when a moment ends briefly. I mean, it ebbs and flows and ebbs and flows, and the whole thing is still right there at the precipice, which is really quite lovely. And the way you read it kind of enhances those the edge of those moments, and I absolutely loved it. Can y'all still hear me?
Everyone else dropped
yes,
now.
Yes, can. No, it's beautiful.
It so
we're all here.
Oh my gosh,
we're all still here. No, not at all.
Oh, see, no, I have the headset on, so I mute myself. I said I loved you, and I'm glad you enjoyed it, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. Lovely, lovely, loveliness. I'm so glad you brought it.
Yes. All right. Deb!
I believe you missed this earlier. I wasn't going to put it on here, but, you have to read the author's notes. So.
Yes. The author's notes are beautiful.
No, the birthday girl's so beautiful.
You're so sweet. These are my favorite birthday suites, the ones that I get to share with you, because they're nothing but awesome and absolutely fabulous. And so there, you asked for my favorite, it's those.
I know. I got to say me too. I got to say
the Hatter's on the board.
Hatter!
Yeah.
Are you ready to read?
I am.
Read away, darling.
Skip that one. I
might have to. Okay. I tried to teach my pretty bird. Who's are those? I tried to teach my pretty bird how to call me sweet pea. She just sat upon her little perch staring back at me. I tried and tried again until I turned three shades of red. I think I made her really mad because this is what she said. Talk a doodle frickin' do. Is that okay with you, or do you need to read my lips? Then my pretty bird didn't say another word when he showed me his chicken bits. She was a male chicken named Pretty Bird.
What I'm loving is, because I don't think I ever told any of you guys, down in Puerto Rico, my family's like history is that they raise roosters. like for generations, they were the, because they do cockfighting down there, and I'm not a fan because it's cruel. However, we had the best chicken, like, and that was how my ancestors made their living up until 1980 something. So that is, I love that it's a rooster. Absolutely do. And this is absolutely hysterical. You're fabulous. You know? And until I turn three shades of red, you know, between me and Sweet, we have a way about that. And so what are your thoughts? Yeah, Miss Sweetie. This is fabulous.
Well, what I don't understand is why. I don't understand why I got to be a boy. That's all.
I'm the boy.
Oh, you're the boy. Okay, I was confused. I'm confused. I thought I was the boy.
I'm not calling anybody a boy. B-O-U-E-Y,
the boy.
About the chicken. About the chicken that I tried to make talk.
Yes.
Ah.
That's amazing.
I was confused. I didn't want to be the chicken.
See that rooster right there?
I'm just messing with you, Hatter. I'm just messing.
I know, but it's just right. That's Caesar. That rooster, okay. That was one of my birds. My frizzled pencil lace cockerel. Our coach.
Did you bring the rooster to KFC and tell them it was underdone?
Ooh, coaches are the ones that are big and fluffy with hairy feet.
I do like feather footed. Yeah, feather footed. But these are the little coaches.
I don't know enough about chickens to even go where you guys are going. I really don't. I know more about cows.
Well, it's like it's chicken leg warmers.
First off, I didn't know chickens had bits. I always thought those were roosters, but that's okay.
This is a rooster.
Where we're going. It is a rooster.
I got it.
Because
I got it.
Cock-a-doodle freaking do. It didn't say pretty bird. It said cock-a-doodle do. Can't you see? Here it is.
I love this, by the way. I tried to teach my pretty bird how to call me Sweet Pea. I love it. FYI, this is great. I love this very much because pretty bird's never going to call you Sweet Pea because he's got chicken bits.
You can't
and
read
this
them.
Is, once again, it's got Hatter rhyme. It's got Hatter humor. It's got Hatter everything, and I love the picture. And not only that, the best thing I like about this Hatter, it doesn't talk about a damn cow. Just saying. I'm just saying, my love. So I'm glad we've gone over to cock-a-doodle-doos and chicken bits.
And you can't read chicken lips.
I love that it has no cow in it. So I love my birthday present because it doesn't moo.
Glad you like.
Oh, I do love it. Ragantor, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a beautiful tribute, Hatter, and it's, you know, it's got all the personal touches to it. Sweet Pea, a pretty bird calling you Sweet Pea. I don't know if in your history of being nicknamed by your paramours that anyone ever wanted to call you Sweet Pea. Now there's a conversation. What nickname were you ever given that you hate? I thought it was a beautiful, touching piece, and you know, I love the thought process behind it. It really shows, you know, the level of intimacy you guys have, and you know, the relationship and the friendship. It's beautiful.
Thanks, Rhett.
Pretty bird.
And it isn't on someone's shoulder calling somebody else Pretty Bird or something else Pretty Bird. But anyway, Sin, what did you think?
I got cheesecake balls in my mouth.
I'm just
fucking Harry, dude. Come on. You know, someone doesn't take the name Hatter without having a trick or two up his sleeve and some deviance in his mind. And here's the thing, though. He can do that all and be loving and genuine at the same fucking time. I mean, hilarious and heartfelt.
He's 13.
One more thing to that. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Sid. Thank you, Sid.
And Rack and Tour.
Again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Deb. Deb's not
cool.
I thought this came out great, and I like the way he, I like the way you wrote it with the humor and read it in the Pretty Bird and the Sweet Pea, and even more so, I like that you were a little bit nervous about bringing it, so I got to read this earlier, and I knew they would laugh. I told you. I like saying I told you when it's a good thing.
I had to write it by the boss first to make sure it wasn't too much.
Not yeah, I don't say fabulous. I told you so when things are bad, but when they're good, I love saying I told you so.
Well, that's awesome. All righty. Deb, you want to throw yours on the board?
Okay. It's on the board.
Okay. On the board.
Uh-huh. Let me go back over here. Oh, I took that one down. It was fake. I'll put the other one up. I went looking because I had poems for you guys, and you may or may not have heard them, but sometimes they're good and you just want to bring them again. So there's the right link, and we'll start with Pretty Bird. It's called Birds of a Feather, Write Periwinkle Prose Together. And here we go. In the periwinkle sky, she flies, spreading poetry on bird wings. As she speaks the written lines, the poet down inside me sings. We hang out as radio hostesses and grow like sisters every night, knotting the ties as we bind tight with queens of dark and of light. She pens battles gunmetal gray, dressed in black latex and lace, with horns and spikes on heels, red tints to smile on her face. Live or recorded on SoundCloud, her voice melts like liquid butter. This woman that I call my friend is treasured, just like jewels, and I love her. End poem.
And it still moves me. I haven't read this in quite a while, and I absolutely appreciate it, and you. It is beautiful and lovely and warms my heart just as much today. And I might as well have just read it for the first time because I'm like all emotional. I don't sound like I'm emotional because I'm sick and have no voice, so it just sounds like how it sounds, but I'm all emotional. So I love this.
I'm glad that you do, and I love you, and I hope that your birthday was awesome, and love and respect.
I appreciate it so, so much. I mean, except for having a fever and being in bed most of the day, it was good. Because, you know, my birthdays tend to be craptastic, but this is fabulous, absolutely fabulous, and so very much appreciated. You know, you have those moments or those days or weeks or however long it may be where you just kind of need to hear good things, and this was just wonderfully timed, and thank you so much.
My pleasure. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Rack, this is beautiful. I really love it, too. My comment on this is a double D wowzer.
Don't make me laugh.
Sin, what do you think?
Hey, you know, come out lovey-dovey and shit, Deb. Stop it. Come on. You're being adorable. I mean, come on, man. You know, it's the bonds and the relationship and the kinship. And I know what that is. Unfortunately, you know, everybody I've ever gotten that close to is passed on. But, you know, when you have these things, you embrace it, you let them know, and you appreciate it, and the love grows stronger, and it's a beautiful thing. I appreciate you for sharing it.
Thank you, Sid.
You're back and forth.
Yeah, I thought this was great. Spreading poetry, you know, I that's kind of, you know, that was kind of that's how, you know, I got to know her and you guys and everything else. So it's always something that I'll associate, you know, and then, you know, her voice on top of all of that and the other aspects of her are all layered into the piece. It's very personalized, you know, I guess how we see her through your eyes, you know, it's beautiful.
And
thank you, Rick.
Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, this, I don't know how I didn't know of this one. This, if you could match a painting up with the paint out contest, this would win. This is a perfect poem.
Thank you, Hatter.
Feather Duster.
All right. Did I miss anybody?
Well, I think you got everybody. And now Deb has
right.
one for you.
All right. Go ahead,
okay.
Deb.
This one's called Sweet Discussions About a Sweet Pea. And here we go. Her neon halos, princess bone pink, hiding horns, metallic fire engine red. Tough as titanium and sugared spice, sweet from her 10 toes up to her ginger head. With flamed hues that light fiery hairs glowing like the sunshine on the sky. I see all of her colors, and they shine from the town she sits in a mile high. She can write sweet fur baby poems, then drop all chins, doodling the dark. That voice adds in the textured heat as her fountain pen etches the mark. Amadeus is the shepherd hero dog, co-hosting her radio shows in a bark. Sliding down into the rabbit hole, she sips mugs of green tea with Sir Hatter, laughing with the fat grinning cat, then eating toadstool caps from tin platters. Night sitting with the wizards from Oz, she is gobsmacked by a crafted palindrome, but not by those reptiles from his poetry. They rattle her to the marrow in her bone, detonating shivers with a grumbled moan. Keep ears to the studio as dotings hover. Tonight the planet revolves just for a sweet to broadcast to her from the radio crowd, pushing the moo button upon every treat, grabbing her microphone to shout it loud.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's so much in here that is just way, way beyond anything that I would ever be. And so much I want to say thank you for. And I am just blessed to have you guys as my friends and to have you support me and have just to believe in me so much. Appreciate it. And don't make me cry. You're not supposed to make me cry.
You guys made
me
cry back.
There's no crying.
But happy tears are
okay.
Besides, you know that song.
It's
my party and I'll cry if I want to.
Cry if I want to.
There is that.
And then we go streaking and you smile, so it's all good.
Wow, we can all use a good laugh, so that's awesome.
Because
it's the
Thank you.
That was gorgeous.
Those chicken bits. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. You know, I don't know from actual rooster bits, but I know how to sex a chick, and it ain't pretty. That's what happens when you move by cows. You know some farm stuff. It is not okay. But I love
that.
Yeah.
That was one job. That was one job out of the incubator I did not have to do.
Well, you know, it's not a hard thing. It's just basically you have to squeeze them and until it has a little nubbin or it doesn't, and it's
not
okay.
A hard thing. No pun intended.
OMG. I am. What can I say? But this is awesome. Right down to just all the little Oz and Alice and her hero dog, by the way, that you call him that, because it's absolutely what he is. And this is just fabulous. It's all the little bits and pieces that are just so touching. And it's beautifully, it is so full of affection that anybody who reads it knows that it's a pure thing. And that to me is very, very beautiful. So Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I did mention I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Rack and Tor.
And Sinister.
I don't know if I was on mute earlier, but I said enough. Anyway, it's absolutely beautiful. You know, absolutely touching. Much the same sentiment as earlier. But when you're crying, hey, everybody will go streaking at your birthday, so stop crying, okay?
There's another visual. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And Hatter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, my little sister. I forgot about this one. It'll make me cry. You got to stick to the crafted palindrome. The Wizard of Oz.
You had to put a little bit of something evil in there, right? No, seriously. Love you, sweet. Thank you, Hatter.
There's something that happens when the emotional and when the emotion is in a piece are true, and it kind of leaches into the skin of everybody who reads it, and that is, to me, the magic of poetry. If it makes you feel something, and because they're just words, you know, and a lot of times they fall flat, but when they're honest, they come alive, and so that's just fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Who's
I consider myself
nice
to be sitting in a room full of people that can make us feel with their pen. What a place to be.
Thank you. I put Angel on the board.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I put me on a board. This is my,
oh, yes,
my rock and roll montage. This is my rock and roll montage. My rock and roll montage for Pretty Bird. So this is.
Echo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A few minutes, I'll call back.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do my rock and roll montage. So there's a couple songs in here. There's Rock Me Amadeus, If I Could Turn Back Time. And Happy Birthday. And then there's, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the first song. As soon as I sing it, you all know what it is. Okay, so got a couple of songs in here, but this is my rock montage to Pretty Bird. So forgive me because I don't sing, but I did it for her. So this is a song of songs for Pretty Bird's birthday. God. Hey, pretty bird, is Chris at home? Did he go and leave the boys at home? Because the cake's on fire. Oh, oh, it's dire. If I could tick-tock time, I would find a day where I could fight for you and take back the screams that haunt your dreams. As I look up to you, the skies are blue, and no one, no one would ever hurt you. Pretty bird, pretty bird, rock me, pretty bird, with a bottle of Jack and a sexy in a poem. The men all sang, rock me, pretty bird, rock me. Happy birthday to you, I love you, sing again, happy birthday to you, never make me sing again, happy birthday to you, I love you.
So the first song is Bruce Springsteen, I'm on Fire, and that was fabulous. And that was probably as far as anything recent. Last year's Pretty Bird sing-along that happened to fall on my birthday was the most fun I've had actually on my birthday in quite a while. So that was fabulous. And so you're just awesome. That is amazing. And I'm all excited. And you did it again. You swore you wouldn't, but you did. And I'm all surprised. And I'm all excited. That is fabulous. That is just absolutely fabulous. And this has just been I'm just so excited that we did this. Woo-hoo! So that's just awesome.
There you go.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I don't sing. There's so many reasons why. There you go.
I think you sing lovely.
All right. Oh, please. Let's not get out of hand here.
Wait. I think you did awesome. I think now you can add Rockstar to your repertoire. And yeah,
please.
I recognize.
Let's not get out of hand.
I recognize the songs, too, as you got to them. Like, you got some Bruce Springsteen in there, and I recognize Cher, You Turn Back Time. So, like, I think that this was really fun, and I didn't get to hear it last time, so it was an extra treat for me.
Oh, you
did? Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And if I smile one more time, I'm going to scream, so I'm going to hang up now. But happy birthday to both you ladies. Thrilled to be
Thank
able to spend
you,
time with you. Love you very much.
Thank you.
Love you too.
Love you too, honey.
Thanks,
Thank you for coming. Bye. Yeah.
So we're getting
All
comments
right.
on your singing, just so that you know.
Why?
I said we're getting comments on your singing. We're not kind of swooping that under the table. So, Rack.
Yeah. Okay, I'm losing it. I swear, I thought I said something again. I'm not right in the head right now. I don't know.
But are you ever?
No, not usually.
Now, Sin is on mute, but he's hanging out on the wall and he's listening, and he'll come back in on request. So, Dell, like everybody, Deb and Hatter have left the building, so it is us and Sin.
No.
So I'm going to put my one up for you, which was not a birthday one, but it's I love this one. I don't know why I do, but I do. And then we'll do Angel. Hold on a second. So this one is The Sweetest Shadows. This is my acrostic tribute to my sweet. And because every verse says Sweet Pea down the front of it, just so that y'all know. It's a little long, actually, coming to look at it. No, it's not that long, but I tend to be brief lately. But it goes like this. Sugar and spice and naughty and nice, with shadows in no small measure. Even with her queen of darkness status, she exudes that gentle side that wraps you up, telling you that everything will be all right, perched between her horns and her halo. She knows what's best for you. Willing or not, she helps you fly despite each fiber of your being screaming that you can't. Experience taught her better than fear taught you. Twisted twin of darkened shadows, peering through souls to see the truth of who you are and love you anyway. Warrior goddess of divine nature, everyone knows she is one tough cookie, even when she's soft as sweet potato pie. Truth is, girly loves hard and perpetually. There is no halfway emotion.
sweet. My sweet is the heart that gives too much, wearing her down and holding fast to everyone she loves. And they offer love that echoes in a chorus of seraphim, the angels that she creates by pushing just enough to let them believe in themselves. End poem.
Weepy.
You know,
you
I okay?
loved it so much when you wrote it. Yeah, I'm She's... trying to be, because this is so amazing. I cried like a baby the first time, and I'm going to cry like a baby the second time. Because nobody deserves this much. Nobody deserves this much.
You do.
Yes.
Oh,
I don't know about that.
I do.
We're telling you.
I see you this way. You know,
don't make
you.
Me cry. I don't want to cry.
This is you, though. This is who you are to me, not me to you. I just this is what I rely on you for.
Because we are kindred. You know, I don't think that we can be that for ourselves. I don't think anybody can. You know what I mean? This whole no man is an island, whatever. And it's exactly who you are. And even if you don't see it, you don't have to see it. We kind of are who we are to people. And it's amazing to hear things sometimes, because it doesn't ever occur to us. And it is very much outside of the realm of human nature for the most part, because people tend to be all, I am the worst parts of myself. I define myself by my worst behavior, my worst day. And we strive to go above that. But the only people that ever sees us that way are ourselves. And you do more than most, at least for me. And it's not like we talk 6 hours a day every day or whatever, but there is a lot of impact in our friendship. There really, really is. You matter more than you know. And in case you hadn't noticed, that's Silk. He is now with us.
Yay,
with the background noise.
Yeah, but you notice I have something to say when everybody's done. I do have something to say. You missed me.
I was getting to you. So he unmuted. So, Sin, your thoughts.
I don't want you ladies to take this in the wrong way, but what you have is something I would love to be sandwiched in between. Because it's pure, it's honest, and it's driven by divinity. It's driven by art. It's driven by love. It's driven by understanding. It's realization, truth, and a plethora. It's what love is defined as. And, you know, I do not see the ladies that way, but goddamn, if I did, fuck, I'd be all over that shit. Because you're fucking beautiful. Love you. Amazing.
I got stuck at Pretty Bird Sandwich, or Pretty Sweet Sandwich. Yeah.
I'm still there. It's a nice place. I might have decent. I might sleep tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Silk, you came in just at the right time. You got all the goods.
Yeah, you did. Hi, Silk.
I know. I mean, a Pretty Sweet Sandwich, that sounds great. Do I get in the middle of that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
I just want to eat
it's our birthday party. We're getting out of control. It's our birthday party. Oh my goodness.
Well, that was bound to happen.
When Sin is in, you know, all bets are lost.
Oh my goodness.
And I got cheesecake balls. They're chocolate covered cheesecake balls that are frozen. Oh my God, those love.
Oh, those sound so good. Oh my God,
I am biting my tongue because, you know, I it's not Sunday.
But, you know, I have a thing.
I know it's not. We need to do a private birthday celebration, but that's a Sunday night.
That's you're special.
That's a different kind of sandwich.
I don't give myself and my thoughts like that aimlessly or carelessly. So I mean that by my heart.
And you are absolutely
I really appreciate it.
And you have no idea.
Yes, you do have no idea. Because we are very heartfelt and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So are you reading, Angel, or am I?
No, you go ahead and read Angel.
Oh, I might need glasses because she has a skinny font. Okay, hold on a second. Are they around here somewhere? Oh, they are dirty. Give me a hot minute.
Speaking of PG-13.
This is For the Rest of Time by Heavenly Angel. Just to hear you say, I love you, somewhere in the night after making love so sweet takes my breath away. The coupling of souls, a love so soft, we fly on the wings of amethyst to the moon and back. I love you. Crash and burn into me until the last 8 seconds of my life. I want to go through time with you. End poem.
Gorgeous. Fucking gorgeous.
Isn't it, though?
Yes.
She does romance really well. She does passion really well, too. But she does romance really, really well. And there is this wistfulness that those moments that she captures, you know, there's a big difference between hearing I love you in the middle of the act and hearing that whisper when it's over, when you're settled in and just happy to be in that place. There's a massive difference in how that feels. And there's a gentleness in that. And she captures that beautifully. I love that, a coupling of souls, because not for nothing. And of course, I'm going to veer off sideways because I can't help it. Gosh darn it. The coupling of souls. There is a massive distinction between doing something just to do it, and it's a physical whatever, and more power to you, because sometimes, you know, you need to relax. But when it is more than that, when there is a connection, an emotional, mental, spiritual connection, it is an exponential growth of pleasure and passion. And so she kind of puts all of that into the coupling of souls. But it doesn't make, just because it's four words, it doesn't detract from the truth of what that is. And I absolutely love that. So, Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts?
I want to feel this in the essence of every sigh I make. I really do.
That's beautiful.
I just don't know how
this is all I want to hear.
Does. Yeah. All right.
You know,
second tour.
It's a beautiful expression of feeling. You know, the thing that strikes me, kind of unique to my own situation, is, you know, how people quote unquote see you, and the way that she describes affection and love is, you know, something that, you know, you don't really see with your eyes. It's beyond that, and she captures that wonderfully.
Absolutely. And Silk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a very lovely and romantic piece as well. My favorite was right after the part you loved about the coupling of souls, which you have. That's always beautiful in and of itself. I loved We Fly on Wings of Amethyst to the Moon and Back. I love you. It's just a lovely sentiment right there, just right in the middle. And, yeah, just all of it. Crash and burn into me. Beautiful little brevity.
That is.
Yeah, you had an angel. You're here, right?
No, she's not.
She's here, correct?
Who, Heavenly Angel?
No, she's not.
Oh, okay. So, fuck. This moment, I know this moment. This is what I did 20 years for. It was this moment, this essence, this depth, this sigh. Fucking gorgeous. Gonna make me get all back in my fucking head, but in a good way, because at least finally I'm feeling the love again, and thank you.
You know, that last line, I want to go through time with you. You know, not for nothing, been with my husband a very long ass time, and we spent a decade with him barely home because he had to travel so much for work. And it had gotten to the point where if he was home for 3 weeks in a row, like every day, like all day on vacation for like 3 weeks in a row, I wanted to punch him in the throat and like leave, because you get used to not being around somebody for that long. And then, you know, COVID happened and you're stuck in the house with these people. And I've got a bunch of kids. So you're stuck in the house with these people day in and day out for months and months and months at a time. And there was no me wanting to punch anybody. It was just really quite amazing, you know, and that whole, I want to go through time with you. It's very much a beautiful thing when you have those moments when you're looking at somebody and you really can't imagine moments without them. You know what I mean? And so I really love that notion. Because, and here's a little insight into my mental, because there's a lot of that. It's that even when I first got married, I was okay getting married because I knew I would be fine if he left. And I didn't know that for 3 years because I was like, oh, but he makes me happy. And that, no, nobody makes me anything. But I had to learn that on my own, and because I was very, very young. And so now when I feel too attached to people, I tend to picture, you know, worst case scenario, not death, but if they leave, how I'll emotionally get through that, because it's a coping mechanism that is very unfortunate and depressing. But if I know that on some level I'll be okay, then I'm good to go wide open, you know? So when you get to the point where I want to go through time with you, there is no more of those thoughts. You don't need that safety net. It's just this beautiful melding of emotion and truth. And I just love that it kind of hangs there in the air and weighs on the soul. So beautiful way to end a poem. So who's up next week?
Silk,
did you bring us something? Sorry, I know I just asked the question, but it just occurred to me.
I wanted to say happy birthday first, both of you. I just noticed today that I've been really busy with classes I've been taking because I'm going to be settling down somewhere in the summer and hoping to get a high tea job, so I've been taking a lot of classes. I just noticed that it was your birthday today when Deb pointed it out, or I would have written something, but I did bring a poem I wrote the other day. I think it's pretty good if you guys want to hear it.
Absolutely. Is it PG-13?
Yeah, it's nothing bad. Nothing naughty or anything. I don't even think it's really naughty.
Well, I'm sure I'll think it's naughty, but we're good.
Maybe. Okay. This one's just called, it's actually something a little different I tried the other day, but it's called Sandcastles on the Shores of Eternity. I wish to drink moonlight like Chardonnay, break the walls of purgatory till the fade blood of Luna spills across the floor, delve my fingers into the maelstrom, wrap my fist around fate's thread, and sever the hands of Atropos. Though eternity blazes dark as midnight graves, with the twist and chaos of my thoughts erode my spirit, forcing me to amputate the aching hollow of my phantasm, wailing for its errant bones? Where then would I yen for the embrace of white satin, when the irradiated flames of love chain react into the corpse dust of nuclear winter? Be it I face the moons of eternity with us within my breast, or would stars fall like embers to sear the broken house with my drowning lament?
Would the twisting chaos of my thoughts erode my spirit, forcing me to amputate the aching hollow of my phantasm, wailing for its errant bones? That is a place I know well. That is beautifully vivid and wonderfully writ. This is a, with the opening, I wish to drink moonlight like Chardonnay. That's my happy place right there. I mean, you gotta love that that night sky in the arms of Nyx and Erebus, and why not get just a wee bit drunk at it, you know, off it, because it's if it's your happy place, it's your happy place. But, or, you know, home, or I'm at home in Shadows. I don't know about you. But, that one verse forcing me to amputate the aching hollow of my fan. You know, I wish I could cut it off. I wish that didn't have to hurt. I wish that it wasn't this giant chasm of crap I can't get rid of. I want to cut that thing out or fill it up with something good, because that would be nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So sweet. What are your thoughts?
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
I gotta tell you, so this is brilliant. I mean, metaphorical genius. Your imagery is spot on. It's laced with a wicked darkness. It's just kind of grips you like, it's almost like the Reaper has his fingers wrapped inside your, like, the core, like, in your core, like, wrapped around your veins. He's just plucking them. Pluck, 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 pluck. Like a violin. He just doesn't quite want to kill you yet, but he certainly wants to play a hollow song. And I really like that. To hear the broken howls of my drowning lament. And I can just hear that little song beating within my breast. And you know, it's just like you've got your hands on your veins. He's just plucking that song along. And I just thought, wow, this is just great, great imagery. And again, metaphorically, I think it looks brilliant. I got to say, this is probably one of the best I've read from you. Just really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
No, thank you, sweet pea. Appreciate it.
And you're welcome. And what do you think there, Mr. Sinister? He's the only one we got left. Back one way.
Yeah, you know, as some of the motherfucker I know that can weave words so goddamn magically. I mean, just, bro. And you use the word lament. And you know you got a bad in me, man. Always have a bad in me. I want to be sometimes, but you're just a smart, you know, young, driven motherfucker, and I love you. I do.
Well, thanks, Sinister. I love your stuff too, man. You always got your own thing, man. That was and the way you read it too. It's always, I remember the first time I heard you read, I was like, damn, just really impressed me. And yeah, so I hear you. You really weave magic too. You're saying it's awesome.
So you do it in a style I wish actually your style of writing is in essence what the idea of it, you know, the dark brooding kind of sinister old world build was like what drove Sinister's Seven, my variation of the Seven Deadly Sins, which was I think it was shortly after hearing one of your pieces or reading something and hearing one of yours, because you have this cross into what I like to call, for lack of better words, Army of Darkness world, where, you know, it's this lust and brooding reality with old world styling that just meshes in this beautiful way. And I tried to doodle that, and I couldn't doodle that, but the perception of a nebula with two protagonists, you know, the two things itching the core, which is what your poetry does, and I think what my poetry does, drove, you know, that deviation. So, you know, these things that we do, man, we don't do without purpose or intent. Huh.
Right. Yeah, awesome, thanks. Man. Yeah, I love the word lament, too. So yeah.
So I put one up. It's birthday cake. So it is, he promised me heaven and taste of hell. I'm sure you all have heard it because it ain't new. But it goes like this. Are you all right with that, sweet? I'm just going to start reading.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. He promised me ecstasy, and I fell for the decadence in his eyes, which promised my tongue a taste of heaven. Devils fight angels in heated air, begging to be coated in sultry hues of married flavors. He is of the light. I play best in nightshade hues that feed the devils in my lair. Impatiently, I follow, urgently. Eagerly, I lap the thought of how it lingers. I enter, trying to hide the moist anticipation. It scents the air in tantalizing expectation of ecstasy promised and wafts towards me. I approach, excitement rising, just be told they just sold the last little suit cake. End poem.
You're so fucking bad. Oh. It's so good, but so bad. Oh.
You know, it's all about the yearning. When you need a piece, you need a piece. Doesn't matter what that's a piece of.
Oh yeah.
I like devil food cake. I'm not. I mean, I'll eat angel food cake, but I like devil food cake.
Oh yeah.
You know.
That's what sin's made of. Now you're gonna like your comment,
right.
But you know, we're trying to keep it PG, so I'm gonna leave it out the air.
I'll make sure that I read it. So sweet, you got anything else to put up? Or if, I mean, we've got a couple of minutes. I mean, we've got several minutes, but we've got time.
Yeah, and if you either you have a request of me, let me know. I would be more than happy to read to you again. Whatever your heart's desire.
The ones I like of yours are not PG-13.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Then.
No, I have
to
take
them up.
Okay, if you want something like that, I have some. I will find.
I just have to go to the anti-PG-13 show for Stan.
Anti-PG-13. It's been a while, sweet. We need one.
Yeah. That'd be a good birthday bash right there.
Shit. Oh, shit. Yeah. None of you heard As It Blooms. And that is totally, totally PG-13, but it's like luscious breath. So you'll like that. If
I've
that's what you're craving, I got something for you. I have something for everything, ladies.
I have to run. I'm going to listen in, though, for the rest of the show.
Okay.
I got to finish up some classwork, and I had to help out to come in real quick. But I'm going to try to call in more this year, try to get back.
All right,
because
my show's on My shows are back on Thursdays, dude.
Are you waiting for me?
Okay.
Oh.
And you have a good night. Happy birthday, both of you.
Waiting for me, if that's what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Silk. Are you ready, Sin?
No, I just turned you down. That's what I did. Okay, son of a bitch.
All right.
Mute button.
I'm ready.
Mute button and volume.
All right,
huh?
Pull up, Sweet. So Sweet has her ready, right. And then you go.
That'll work.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're fine.
No, that's fine. I just have to, you know, do my thing. Because I'm so good at this, putting up poems. I'm really not. I'm really bad at it. All right. I got two to read. My New Year's Eve poem is pretty damn badass, too. Yeah. You promised me heaven. You promised me heaven. Oh, that's yours. Oh, that's yours. I'm reading your poem. Duh. I'm like, why does that sound? That's not my poem at all. That's yours. Let's talk about this one. I'm already done. My sweet pea. Pedestal of grace, top down in the act of rivalry. Retina strip ashes from internal sadness. I'm getting a bad echo. Veins saw ice into orifices and dead cavities, undiscovered by the blinded eyes caressing the valleys and hills of my naked landscape. The light giver of tomorrow burned out too soon. I speak my truth and our letters bastardized by the perpetrators, molested by words of promises. I cut our connections. Scars on the wrist show no bravery. Shadows are hidden in fears, maybe. Tightrope walking in yesterday's memories. The future drowned in late night whiskey treacheries. Death now writes in the language of love. End poem.
Death now writes in the language of love. But, you know, isn't it the ones we love that hurt us the most? I mean, you kind of have to be that vulnerable to love that much. And it's an unfortunate side effect of pain and the, you know, emotional gutting and the little pieces of, you know, you that die in the process of betrayal. I love this. Undiscovered by the blinded eyes, caressing the valleys and hills of my naked landscape, you find a way to make just about everything you touched some kind of sexy, which is a gift, my friend. So I kind of love that. That even as that leads into that the dying flame, it's still beautiful and sensual and it kind of makes the dark parts of this poem that much more painful. So I absolutely love that. I speak my truths in our letters, bastardized, the perpetrators molested by words of promises. Molested by words of promises. Don't you know that if I trust you, which takes a lot for me to trust somebody, you know, but if you're one of those people that I trust, the worst thing you can do is lie to me. I don't care if you're an asshole. Tell me you're an asshole. I can respect you being an asshole. But lie to me like I'm an idiot, and I have a hard time. It breaks me, you know? It breaks me because it's not something that I tend to do. You know, I am too lazy to keep lies straight. I can't be bothered, you know? So that molested by words of promises, it gets stuck in your craw, those broken promises, the ones that are empty, the ones that make you feel disregarded, and the ones that against every fiber of your being that calls you to be pulled to someone, you have to sever that connection, that connection, either for your own good or for spite, but either way, it sucks, and it changes who you are, and sometimes you don't get over it. There are little tiny stupid things in life that in the grand scheme of life are little tiny stupid things, and I am gutted every time it crosses my mind. I don't care if I was 11 years old. I don't care if I was 30 years old. I don't care if everybody thinks it's stupid. If it guts you, it guts you forever. And so this,
you know,
this
is your challenge.
Off. Yes, I do. I read that because I love this poem. I'm not a big fan of Bukowski. I mean, I love a Bukowski challenge in that I can adopt a FU attitude and write whatever the hell I want to, no holds barred. I need permission to allow myself to do that because that's just not how I write. But this one poem that which isn't even like a poem, it's like a letter from him, breaks my heart, you know, and just the idea of it. And when you wrote to it, you did such a beautifully painful job. So, Sinister, what are your thoughts?
Let me say, I recently bought a Bukowski book, and I thought it was some rarities, and this is older shit, and I can't fucking stand it. but this right here, this speaks to my fucking core. And it makes me want to change giving you lovey-dovey shit and give you my heart right now, because I understand this, and hang him up and string the motherfucker to abuse us love, because it's a sin. And it's not the good kind of sin. It's not a deviant sin like I. It is a fucking atrocity to life in itself, and they should be hung up, strung up, and done away with. There's certain things that you said about euthanizing certain people, and you give us that reason right there in beautiful, beautiful prose. I love it.
Thank you.
It's very painful and very deep, and it touches people. I would think that the only people that this wouldn't touch are those that are in complete denial of their own pain. Because
and
if
those that are those that dance on cloud of theirs are not rainbow, you know, not unicorns lofting scented breezes. They're taking a shit on you.
There you go. I actually have a unicorn poem about, you know, them being, you know, warrior beings that impale you and stuff, because they don't crap rainbows, they crap on your face. But anyway. There is something.
You know, I quoted myself when I said that shit. You know, I quoted myself when I said that shit. I quote myself
that's
all
awesome.
The time. I love doing it. I'm a narcissistic, beautiful tragedy.
You know, there's a difference, sweet. Between, and you know, y'all know, I'm saying it anyway, there's a huge difference between people that try to describe emotion and people that just feel. It's like there's such insipid things out there that I can't stand. I have a hard time reading love poems because they're all fake romance and what they hope love to be, and maybe one day they're going to find whatever, but if they've ever truly been in love, and all that comes with it, it is not a one-sided emotion. It is multifaceted, and they're not all good facets. And so when you push through that to actually allow yourself to love somebody wholeheartedly, it reads different. It feels different. It is profound. So I can't with all the unicorns and rainbows. I can't with the fluffy white clouds and their perfectly 72-degree words. I need substance. And you don't ever let me down, sweet. You really, when you go emotion, and I don't care if that emotion is fear, when you go emotion, you're all in. And it's a beautiful thing, beautiful, beautiful thing to pull somebody in those places that they don't want to visit within themselves. Because I don't know how often you read things, but I seldom read a poem going, I hope that she breaks my heart today. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to get broken anyway. And when it does, it surprises me with its honesty. And I love that. I love a poem that makes me feel or makes me think or makes me have a reaction that is unexpected, you know? And it's so I just find fabulous things in emotional words, in honest emotional words, words that just come from a place that it doesn't matter if they're actually true, but it comes from a place where you tap into the essence and put it out there. And this does that. It touches people. You're welcome.
My next one is my New Year's resolution.
Okay, you're both talking at once. I heard nothing.
No, what's the New Year's resolution?
Oh. It's the chess game of 2023, and I threw it on the board. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm not looking at that right now. But okay. To chime in on that and to chime in on what you did. Now, this is a comment, you know, a statement that I make that a lot of people have a hard time grasping their head around. But to truly know love, you must first accept hate.
I agree.
Because anyone that you truly love bring the odds of arrogance of you and touch those odds of hate. And to accept those is to know love. And that's what you touch there, both of you. Huh?
I mean, disagree, because it's
more than just a 5-minute conversation. Because it's about 20 years of being in it all. And, you know, hey, it was a fucked up relationship, yes. But, you know,
Love is a fucked up relationship. It's the most irrational of all emotions.
Exactly. But you know what? You hate in that love. Don't say you don't.
I don't.
Okay?
I don't.
To me, no part of love is hate.
It's anger, and it's disappointment, and it's a lot of pain. Well, it depends on, you're looking at the dictionary.
You're looking at the dictionary.
I got 2 minutes, guys.
Okay? And I'm dropping into depth way beyond that. So that's why I said it's more than a 5-minute conversation. But, you know,
absolutely.
I appreciate that.
But in these last few minutes, she's got her poem up. But, yes, we can absolutely touch on that. You know, that might be a show for another time because it's a quite an interesting conversation. But
I agree.
She's
make an amazing show. I do have a poem.
It would.
The chess game, my New Year's resolution for everyone. Flaccid decorations hang in the hallowed halls of old memories. Dressing up in monochrome colors, gray matter collapses as a neophyte year rings in fresh hope through a drunken haze. Yesterday's veins have bled, and the blood stain still remains on the carpet. Words cursed cannot be reversed, and tears are fears for tomorrow. Calm stays in the dawn of last year's resolutions. 20 years gone. Stand and hold hands again and claim we will change. And nothing will stay the same in 365 days, the world we shall claim. Or shall I move my pawn or my knight and continue this game and home?
Well, I feel seen. This is very much why I've always hated New Year's. Because it's a whole lot of this, it's not so much a lack of hope as you haven't really washed the last year off to be able to, you know, want to be all anew about things. You know what I mean? And that whole, it makes pretty words. It makes beautiful words to start the new year saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. My relationships will be better and I'm going to be better in my relationships and in myself. But the truth is, it's a whole lot easier to just smile and just move past things and go in like people, smile at them pretty and go and suffer in silence because I'm tired of talking about it. Leave me alone. And it's a little unfortunate. My mother used to make us all by 11 o'clock be freshly showered and full face makeup and fancy ass clothes just so we can ring in the new year all nice and fabulous because how you end the year is how you start the year. I'm like, fake? Because this ain't my reality. And she's just like, you're broken. I'm like, maybe a little bit. But this has this wistful thing that New Year's has always felt like to me my whole entire life. Well, since I was 10, because I used to think that my birthday was January 1st.
and because that's when they changed it for school,
that's
but
so
it wasn't January 1st. Yeah, what?
That is so weird to me, but that's another story.
Yeah, and so when I found out that it wasn't January 1st and all these parties and fabulouses and celebrations had nothing to do with me, like even a little bit, I was very just, now it's just another day, just, you know, 3 days shy of everybody's nonsense, and it felt forgotten. It felt forgotten ever since, because I'm not broken, it's fine. But that's what this feels like to me, you know. But I love that, you know, shall we stand and hold hands again? And there's hope in that whole last stanza until the last line where, you know, we can claim to change things. We won't, but the hope is there that we might, you know, or maybe not. And that is what it has always looked like for me. And I'm so sinister.
I can wrap it up simply, and I wish I could remember and quote myself properly, but I can't because I've been drinking. So to make a New Year's resolution is to void future returns on insight and delivery. And that's not the way I said it originally, but I said it much more poetically and beautifully before. But, you know, the resolutions are fuck all, because all they're doing is setting yourself up for failure, you know.
Exactly.
My New Year's resolution is this. I'm going to bring me, and I'm going to live to the fullest, and we will see what comes, because that is what is, and that's what can be, and that's what's tangible. So that's what this brings to me. I may be off track, but, you know, that's in the conversation that ensued, that's what came to my mind. And that's what we really need to think about, is it's not about what can be. It's about what is and what is now. And our worth is defined by who we are, family, work, community, and then it grows. It's not predicated per what we fucking perceive. It's what we do. So be it. Yeah? That's what I see.
Well, guys, I got to go. It's been a great show. Best birthday party ever.
Oh, come on. I got a three-minute poem. I want to read it to you real quick.
All right. Go to my three-minute poem.
I
want to
make you happy.
Come
on. I want to make you happy. I want to make you happy for your birthday.
Okay, I'm saying go for it. Go. I'm all for it.
Stevie Wonder.
Go for it.
As it blooms.
All right.
As it blooms. As the rainbow devours. As the rainbow devours the stars delicately in the sky, I see in tomorrow the truth that is today disclosed by you. Put your mind at ease. There's nothing left to fear. It's in you I feel the sensations of dolphins taking flight. Ask not, for love is the acceptance that paves the way true. Lasting forever, it's a promise, a guarantee that shines bright. Let me ingest your joy and pain so that I better know you. In your embrace, the trees and seas quickly fade away. Our time and inertia since the beginning, seasons call you. Twilight transition. Let me indulge your Venus so you lose hours, night, the day. No desires held in apprehension of when we birth all in due time. Sway until we melt you to me as I to you evolved, consumed. Dreams are now sensations that rotate earth into double time as we elevate in the pentacles of pleasurable euphoric revelations, creating kaleidoscope parodies of parrots breaststroke swimming. 8 times 8 is divisional in 4 numbers, and you, my dear. Your ecstasy flows like the ocean eclipsing mountain ranges. You're precious. As we feel, we're born anew, revolving blossoms as roses, buds, bloom, the mockery breathing. Happy birthday, you two.
Oh, that was awesome. That was actually awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That is lovely.
That was great.
You know, you have your little word that says adult on it.
No.
That's just because of the euphoric and the but it's actually written from a Stevie Wonder song and I went into this room, right, and there was a Stevie Wonder, but it was an erotic room, so I went in there, devastated the fucking room, this brought, you know, pretty bulging erotic piece. They're doing Stevie Wonder, and I felt bad. So in the 20 minutes I was sitting in the room, I wrote this piece. I looked up that song. I'm like, that song reminds me. And I knew it, so I used a little bit of his lyrics and made that as it blooms.
So the most sensual verse in here, verse number 3, is my favorite. And I don't want to go all up in it and change this from, you know, benign to just fully sensual, but it is lovely. It is all what passion is without any of the animal having to be laid out in detail. It's lovely. It's the loss of time when you're just all up in the moment is really beautifully written. I'm so glad that you brought this tonight. It's fabulous.
Yes, it is, son.
Sweet.
Now remember Yes. Yes.
There's a lag, sweetie. That's all.
Okay. No, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was great. But we are going to say goodnight. Thank you for reading your final poem. It did make me very happy and joyous. Happy birthday, pretty bird. Thank you for celebrating with me again this year.
Happy birthday, sweet pea. And thank you guys for all of the wonderful presents. You guys made our nights. You're fabulous. And it was,
yes.
I don't know about you, sweet, but it was just what I needed. So it was awesome.
Me too. It was awesome. Have a great night. Thank you for joining us in. I had a great time with you.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday. I'm glad to be here for you, ladies. Love you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.